This is Pastor Adam Lawson, First Apostolic Church of Shepherdsville. Thank you for tuning into our podcast, and thank you for your support. We hope you enjoy today's message. Bring your attention to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28, and we'll start at the very first verse. Thankful for everybody that came out today. Joined us, Stephanie and Audrey and Josh. Thank you so much for being here today. Amen. Matthew 28, verse 1. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. And his countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen. And as he said, come see the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. And there shall you see him. Lo, I have told you. Today I want to preach from this topic, because he lives. Because he lives. If you would, set your Bibles down and let's pray one more time. Father, we worship you. We're so thankful for what we feel in this house already. Father, I pray that you would anoint my lips of clay as I bring this message. I pray that you would anoint our ears to hear, our minds to understand, and our hearts to receive what thus saith the Lord. I pray that you would have your wonderful way in this service. And we ask all these things in Jesus' name. If you're going to preach with me, shout amen. Amen. You may be seated in Jesus' name. Today is a wonderful day of celebration. Today is Easter. We like to call it Easter. It is Resurrection Day. It's a day that we spend with our families. It's a day where we get all dolled up. We get on our Sunday best and we come to church and we celebrate life. We celebrate the day that Jesus was raised from the dead. It's a reason to celebrate everything that God has blessed us with. I don't know about you folks, but Jesus has blessed me every single day of my life. Sure, tough times come and tough times go, but I'm blessed in the midst of it all. Amen. I'm going to tell you, I just can't get over it. The more I think about the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for me, I'm going to tell you, I want to shout when I think about it. I'm going to tell you, don't excuse me, I'll do a little two-step because the Lord has been good to me. Woo! I'm going to tell you. And it's not situational. I'm not even on my notes right now, but I'm going to go ahead and preach just a minute, okay? It's not based on my situation. I got a tire going flat in the parking lot. I don't care. I'm going to worship Jesus. Amen. Come on. I'm going to tell you, I've got a suspender snapping underneath my coat. It's okay. Jesus is good all the time. I burned my brand new shirt with an iron today. It's okay. Jesus is good all the time. Clap your hands if he's good to you. It's a day that we celebrate, and it's a day that we remember that he didn't stay in the tomb. He didn't stay there. Everybody thought he was going to stay there. Look, I'm going to tell you, there's people who have different concepts about Easter. There are some that think that it's just that. You just dress up, you go to church this one time a year, and that's it. There's others that they'll say it's about a rabbit. Or colored eggs, or marshmallow peeps, or jelly beans. Some will even say that this is the day that Jesus was raised from the dead, but they don't understand the importance of what happened that day. They know the story, but they don't truly comprehend what happened in that moment. Amen. We got to understand, this weekend for the Jewish faith commemorates the very first Passover. And what we got to understand is that the people of God were in bondage. They were, look, them Egyptians were not nice to them. They beat them on the daily. They were made to move bricks and make mortar. They were made to do all these things. And their cry went before heaven. And look, I'm going to tell you, the Lord sent Moses. Moses had a speech impediment. Let me stop right here. It don't matter where you come from or what failures you think that you have. God can use you if you allow yourself to be used. He will pick you up right where you're at, and he'll begin to use you. You just got to get past yourself. Amen. And so, we know the story. Moses comes in to Pharaoh. Let my people go. But Pharaoh wouldn't do it. He had to go through 10 plagues before God got his attention. The final plague. I know, Lord, I'm getting to it. On the final plague, Moses tells the people of God, he says, get you a lamb. You're going to prepare the lamb. You're going to sacrifice the lamb. You're going to take the blood. You're going to put it on the doorposts all the way around, because there's going to be a death angel pass through. And when I see the blood, I'm going to pass over you. That's what our Bible tells us, and that's what the Jewish people are commemorating, because in that night there was a deliverance. While all of Egypt was wailing over the loss of their firstborn, the people of God were protected. Can I tell you, when you have the blood of the Lamb applied to your life, there's a protection that comes over you. That's what we're celebrating today. We're no longer subject to all that. Hard times are going to come, but we are going to make it through because we have the blood of the Lamb in our heart. I want you to understand that's what Passover. Look, I'm going to tell you, and hear me. They were in the plagues. The people of God were in the middle of the plagues. Just because you become a child of God does not make you immune from the plagues going on around you. Too many people got caught up and think that once I come to Jesus, everything's going to be rosy. No, it's not. No, it's not. You're going to make it. The Lord is going to be with you. There are going to be some things that are going to pass right over you that you're going to see happening around you, but it ain't going to affect you. You better hear me today. There are some things going on around, but it's not directly affecting you because you have the blood of the Lamb applied to your life. I told Sister Lawson I wasn't going to get wound up this quick, and I lied. For the Christian faith, this is the weekend that commemorates the death, burial, and resurrection for our Lord. It was on this week, 2,025 years ago, that Jesus shed his blood for you and me. I need you to understand that. He was born to die. He was the Lamb from the foundation of the world. He was always said he knew what was about to befall him, and yet he went anyway. This past Friday, we celebrated what we call Good Friday. It commemorated the day Jesus died. People often ask me, well, if that's the day he died, if that was the day that he was beat and crucified, why is it called Good Friday? What in the world was good about that? You see, it was on that day that Jesus was falsely accused and beaten all night long. It was on that day that beard was pulled from his face. They spit on Jesus. They blindfolded him and punched him and then told us, prophet, prophesy, who hit you? And began to openly mock him. They drug him out in a square for everyone to see. They stripped him naked. They beat him with a whip and a cat of nine tails that every time it landed on the flesh, when it was drawn back, it would rip flesh off of his body. His hands were tied above his head so he couldn't defend himself. And when they got done with his back, they flipped him over and they did the same thing to the front. And yet, he endured that. Why? He's God in flesh. Why would he allow that to happen? Let me tell you why. because every time that whip hit him, he said, this one's for Zach because he's going to need it. I'm going to shed my blood for him because Zach is going to need salvation. And Brother Lawson, this stripe here, that was for his healing because he's going to be sick and he's going to need healing. So I'm going to take that for him. And Sister Lawson, well, she can't make it to heaven on her own, but with my blood applied to her life, she's going to live in eternity with me. He did it because he loved us. He saw us 2,000 years later and he said, this is for you. You see, we like to think and we're told that it was the nails that held him to the cross, but it wasn't the nails at all. It was his love for us. He knew that if he didn't go through that, if his blood was not shed, that we would not spend eternity with him because we had a debt that we could not pay. I don't know about you guys, but I was a dirty dog before I came to Jesus. My life was riddled with sin. Things that I, when I look back, I just cringe because I cannot believe the person I was. And yet, in all of that, let me tell you something. When I cried to him, I was in a situation that only he could fix. And I was like the woman with the issue of blood. I tried going everywhere else first to fix it. And then I made a call and they said, why don't you try Jesus, friend? Why don't you give it to Jesus? And even then, I was bucking up against the system. I don't want to go to church. I don't want to talk to those people. And the person I called said, have you tried everything else? Said, yeah. And she said, well, is it going to hurt to try? And it was in a phone call. The preacher didn't even meet with me in person. It was in a phone call. And Jesus worked through that person. And everything changed. Even in the midst of my folly, Jesus loved me. So many people think, I got to get good to get Jesus. You'll never get there, friend. You've got to get Jesus to get good. You've got to have the Holy Ghost in your life and in you before you can ever get good. You've got to learn how to love God before you can learn to love anybody else. This is where it starts. Can you imagine, and I'm a little off here, but just give me a second. Thinking that you have to get well before you go to a hospital. But that's what we do when we try to get good before we get God. That's exactly what we're doing. You go to the hospital to get better. You go to church to get your soul healed. That's what you're doing. And I'm going to tell you, a good church is never going to turn somebody away who needs help. A Jesus church. Clap your hands to the Lord. My Lord, I feel that in Jesus' name. After they had beat him all night long, after they pulled his hairs out of his beard, after they placed the crown of thorns on his head, after they placed all these beatings on him, they put a wooden cross on his shoulders. Now I want you to imagine that he's already had his back beat beyond recognition, and the flesh is ripped off, and now on top of those exposed nerves, they're going to place a wooden cross with splinters. They place it on his cross and they begin to march him to Golgotha. And as he's walking through the street, I just wonder how many people were there that had actually witnessed the miracles that Jesus did. The very same ones that saw him turn the water into wine. The very same ones that seen the woman with the issue of blood healed. The very same ones that seen him when he healed the man at the pool of Bethesda. All of these things that he did. I wonder if those same spectators are there to watch him carry that cross up Golgotha's hill. And yet he did not try to turn around. Jesus did not try to run. When he began to get weak because of blood loss and he fell, did they help him up? No. They began to kick him and punch him while he was down. And still he never mumbled a word. Thank God for Simon the Cyrene. He was just standing in the sideline watching. The guards ran and grabbed him, put him to carry the cross. He picked that cross up and began to carry it the rest of the way. They got to the top of the mountain. They dropped that cross down and then they threw Jesus down on it. Laid him out there, stretched him wide. And then he heard the clanking, hammer against nail through his wrists. Hammer against nail through his feet and ankles. I'm going to tell you, he didn't have to go to hell because hell was right there for him. Amen. I cannot begin to imagine the pain that racked his body. And yet, he remained speechless. About 3 o'clock in the afternoon, the Bible says that he gave up the ghost there on Calvary's cross. Jesus died. Now, if that was the end of the story, then we could come once a year and just get dressed up. We could just commemorate it just because it was over. But that's not where this story ends. It did not end there, ladies and gentlemen. We don't celebrate this day because Jesus died. No, we celebrate this day because Jesus lives. He's very much alive. He's very much alive in my heart. He's very much alive in this world today. And you can see him everywhere you look. Because if God was dead, his divinity would be disproved. His death would be dismissed. He would be nothing more than a martyr. Our preaching would be fake and false. Our prayers would be futile. Our pardon would be non-existent. Our peace would be a fake. His dominion would be dissolved and his deliverance would be disqualified. But can I tell you, he's risen. When he died on Calvary's cross, I believe that all of heaven mourned and all of hell rejoiced. I believe every demon in hell began to have a party. I believe with my whole heart that the grave said, y'all don't worry, I'm going to hold Jesus right here. He ain't going nowhere. I believe the devil thought he won. That's what I believe. I believe that no doubt he thought, I am the greatest. You see, I was able to get Eve to sin in the garden. And now this Jesus, he's down here with me too. He's no more a threat. But then suddenly, the earth began to shake. So, look, I'm going to tell you right now, the veil at the holiest of holies began to rip and something began to change. And Jesus, no doubt, kicked the doors in to the gates of hell and took back the keys. He looked death straight in the eye and said, oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, can I tell you, he is alive. They could not. Oh, you better clap your hands to the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, grave, where's your victory? Because he's very much alive. And the Bible lets us to know that when he rose from the dead, that he led the captives free. He freed them from the stronghold of Satan because Jesus is not dead. I get offended almost when I see people that have a cross with Jesus still on it because he's not there. He is not there. My God lives. How do I know? Because I have his spirit inside of me. Because he gave me the power to overcome things that I couldn't overcome on my own. Because I see him move in my family. I have seen him deliver and heal. He told his disciples, he said, greater things, greater miracles than this shall you do. And it was because of his spirit inside of them. Mary and the others came to the tomb looking for Jesus, and the angel of the Lord said this, why seek ye the living among the dead? Can I ask a question? Why is it that today people are still seeking Jesus among the dead things of the world? Today, The world is still looking in the tombs, looking for Jesus. They're searching in the tombs of alcohol, drugs. They're searching in the tomb of promiscuity. They are searching for the living God and unable to find him because they're looking in all the wrong places. There is a God-shaped hole inside of you that only God is going to fill. I'm going to tell you, I have been down the road of alcohol. It doesn't fill. I have tried illicit drugs. That it doesn't fulfill. I've tried all these things, but there was something happened when I tried Jesus. There was something that happened when I found my way to an altar. There was something that happened when I surrendered completely and said, oh God, I'm not my own. I'm yours. The thing about it is we want it our way, but Jesus wants all of you. I'm here today to ask you, why seek ye the living among the dead? Because he's not there. You're not going to find him in the things of this world. You're not going to find him in popularity. You're just not. Some of the most popular people in the world went on to commit suicide because they were looking to fill something only God could fill. I had the opportunity to travel to Los Angeles and Hollywood several years ago. I'll never forget it. I got off the plane, and one of the first places I went to was Rodeo Drive. I'd always heard about it. It was supposed to be all this big thing. And when I got there, indeed, it was. It was all of that. There were all these fancy cars driving by, Aston Martins and Bentleys and all of this. And then I seen one of my personal favorite. It was a Bugatti. And I looked it up on my little phone, on my little smartphone, and it was a $2 million car just parked on the street. And I was like, oh, my Lord. And so I went over, and I'm all looking in the window, and I hear a voice behind me that says, hey, hey, I didn't touch it. And he said, if you'd like, you can sit in it. And I was like, oh, no. I might scuff it or something. If you could just take my picture next to it, that'd be great. And he took my picture next to it. And I was just, man, I was floating around Hollywood like I was something. I got kicked out of a couple places, but that's another story for another day. But the next day, I went to visit my contact that I was there on business for. And I was telling him about all the things I seen. And he said, Adam, he said, most of those people are in therapy because they got the wrong color car. They're not happy. They're trying to fill something with things. This guy didn't know nothing about Jesus. This guy was speaking. He said, look, he said, they're some of the most unhappy people you'll ever meet in your life. And that's when Jesus stepped in and said, that's because they're looking for me. Why do we seek the living among the dead? You see, because he lives, I broke some generational curses in my life. You see, that's a real thing. That's a real thing. My granddaddy was an alcoholic. My daddy was an alcoholic. My uncle was an alcoholic. My mom's granddaddy was an alcoholic, and her dad was an alcoholic. Both sides. Today, my sibling is an alcoholic. When I met Jesus, that had to fall. That was look, I'm going to tell you, I was on my way, but that was the first thing to fall, is when I submitted to Jesus, he began some deliverance in my life. Can I tell you, it's because he lives that I don't have to face that. He can break every generational curse off your life. You do not have to be who the world says you are. You are what Jesus says you are, and it's because he lives. It's because he lives, I don't struggle with suicide anymore. It's because he lives, I don't struggle with depression anymore. I read a survey this week. 1 in 4 people are suffering with depression right now in the United States. We are the most medicated country in the world. But Brother Lawson, we're also the most prosperous. You might want to do the math on there. Because what's happened is too many people have went searching for the living among the dead. You see, it's because he's risen. I don't have to be afraid anymore. I don't have to be bound because because he's risen. It's because he lives that I don't have to be bound by the things of this world. It's because he lives that I don't have to beat myself down for the mistakes that I made. Can I tell you, everybody has a past. Let me go ahead and say it. Everybody messes up. How many of us have that one mistake that it seemed like your whole life has been a product of and you just can't get past it? Anybody other than me? It's that one thing that if you could have it to do over again, that you would have never done it and you would have skipped that pain. But can I tell you, even Jesus can work through that. It's not the end for you. It doesn't stop there. Jesus can work that out too because he lived. You look, it's going to work out. You know, I was reading the accounts of the different apostles on the resurrection, and it's really funny. Mark was the teenager of the bunch. He was the youngest of the apostles. And just a chapter prior to him talking about the resurrection, he's bashing Peter. He's like, yeah, Peter denied Jesus three times. Can you believe that? What a jerk. Jesus needed him, and when Jesus needed him, Peter claimed not to know him. Yeah, I'll be with you to the end, Jesus. What happened to that, Peter? That's what he said. Well, how many of us have made big promises to God and reneged on them? Trust me, I'm going somewhere with this. Y'all hear me today. He told Jesus, he said, well, if you're going to die, I'm going to die too. Wherever thou goest, I'm going. But when it came down to it, Peter denied him by a fire, even cussed. But when you look at Mark's account of the resurrection, you see something. The angel of the Lord came down, and he said, go tell the disciples and Peter. He wanted to make sure that Mark knew Peter didn't mess up like you think he did. The Lord's still going to use him. Can I tell you, the Lord's still going to use you. You might have messed up big time, but the Lord's going to use you. You may have tripped up. You may have fumbled that ball. You may have made a mess of things, but can I tell you, it's not over, my friend. The Lord is saying, and go tell Kaylin, and go tell Zachary, and go tell Alyssa, because he has a plan for you and me. It's not over because you messed up. We get this mindset because we know how we would judge people. But the Lord ain't us. You see, thank you. You're exactly right. I thank God that the Lord's nothing like me. Because you see, you and I can get judgmental when people hurt us, when people do the wrong thing. But Jesus, he already knew what you were going to do, and he done figured that out, and he still called you. I thank God for that every single day. I thank God that I don't have to be lost because he lives. You see, it's because he lives that we can have great families. I had the opportunity to preach in Shelbyville today, and as I looked over to my right, my kids were there, my grandkids were there. I was just one of them missing. And I thought, how much more blessed could it be? When you look around, the Lord has blessed your life all around. Quit focusing on the two or three things that aren't lined up like you think they ought to be. Maybe the Lord's doing a work there, and you just need to wait it out. There are answered prayers in this building right now. There are. Look to your left and look to your right. There's answered prayers all around you. Prayers that we thought were never going to happen. Things that you prayed for 6 months, a year ago that you had no idea was coming, but the Lord had it on a timeline, and he knew exactly what he was doing. And when he did exceedingly, abundantly, above what you even asked or think. You said, Jesus, I just want you to do this. And he took two steps forward and said, is this okay? Is it okay if I do this? It's because he lives. He's not dead. Tell your neighbor he's not dead. Regardless, and look, after we leave here today, there's going to be another trial. Josh, my tire's still going to be going flat. It is. He is. He's still good. I got a leak in that tire. Man, I aired that dude up yesterday. Got in it this morning. It had a low tire light on it again. I thought, Jesus, take the wheel because we're going to church and everything's going to be all right. Can I tell you, everything's going to be all right. It's because he lives. We are not done. It's not finished. He's getting ready to work some things out in your family. I'm speaking that in the name of Jesus. Some of your family members that you've been praying about, Jesus is still living. He's still going to move. He's still breathing on them. I want you to hear me today. Your ministry, God is still moving. The things that you're trying to do for the Lord, he's still moving in the midst of it. It's because he lives and he has a timeline. Because he's risen, I may have failed, but I'm not a failure. Because he lives, I'm not going to be lost, I'm found. Because he's risen, my prayers availeth much. Because he's risen, I know I'm somebody. I wish you could see you the way the Lord sees you. I wish you could. I wish you could see what Jesus sees. We beat ourselves up so much because of what we've done. I don't know about you, but whenever I do something dumb, I'll call myself some names. I'm stupid. And then my wife, I'll hear this little angelic voice, baby, you're not stupid. You got to say that you're married to me. We beat ourselves up so much, but the Lord is working on us every day. If you look throughout Scripture, nobody got it all together right. There were people who got it wrong. Man, I wish I could go into everything I wanted to now. We think of John in the Bible who wrote the book of John. We think he was just a big hero, but he was a jealous dude. He was. He had some character conflicts, some character flaws. He did. You watch him write about Peter. He said, that one apostle and then the other one that Jesus loved me. Read it for yourself. I couldn't believe it. I was like, well, what a jerk. He's writing a book about himself. My goodness. It's because he lives. And while he's living, every day is going to be sweeter than the day before. Whatever you went through yesterday, leave it in yet. Oh, my goodness, I'm going to hit this. You can't change yesterday, but you can make today better. You can learn from your mistakes. You can allow Jesus, because he is risen, to walk with you and talk with you. And sometimes the talks that he has with you are harsh. Sometimes he's got to put a whooping on your old carcass. If you've been there, shout amen. Amen. I see Zach. I guess the Lord ain't never dealt with you. That's okay, bro. We're good. Up here, the Lord's done dealt with the rest of us. my Lord in heaven. Every day is sweeter when you walk with him. He's alive. And he will be your best friend if you'll let him. If you will invite him in. If you will talk with him, and I'm going to say this. This is going a little different direction than I thought it was going to go, but let me go ahead and tell you. You don't have to have the these thousand thuses. I'm going to tell you, when I talk to Jesus, Lord, it's me again. I'm sorry. Lord, I need you. Lord, what can I do for you today? He is my best friend. He's the one. When nobody else can help me, he is the one that steps in and said, well, if you're done trying everything else, I'm here. Because he lives, I'm going to give him praise. See, here's the here's how misconstrued things are. People, when they see you preaching, they hear a title pastor or praise team leader or something like that, they think that you ain't never done nothing wrong or been through nothing. That's wrong. I pray. praise him every day because he lives. I praise him every day that I came through a spine surgery that could have left me a paraplegic, and yet I'm stronger today. I thank him every day that when my children were in bad situations, he found a way to bring them out. I thank God every day for the people, good people, that he has surrounded me with, people who pray for me. Anybody other than me ever had any fake friends? Yeah, some of them, prodigal son friends that when everything got rough, they were gone. But God gave me some good people to put around me. I can't praise him enough for it. Everything that God's, I'm going to give him praise because he lives. Because he lives and he's risen, we don't have to look anywhere else. Can I tell you that every question that you have, the answer's right here. Every single question. Because he lives, you don't have to struggle with your identity. Because he lives, you don't have to worry about what other people think about you. Because he lives, you don't have to feel like you're going to lose your mind. Hear me today. It's funny. Even Christians do this. We'll put on a face even though we're fighting hell between our ears. We are losing our mind. The spirit, look, I'm going to tell you, depression is so real that suicide tries to piggyback its way in on that. I've been praying against the spirit all week. It has hit me in such a way that God let me to know that somebody's dealing with it on a very, very high level. Can I tell you, because he lives, you don't have to worry about that. If you will sit at his feet, he will help you through everything. You don't have to feel that way. Jesus wants to be your perfect peace. Can we stand? You see, all power is in him. And he has the keys to everything in your life. All you have to do is submit and surrender to him. Nothing would give him greater pleasure than to help you through the worst days of your life. But you have to surrender. You may be going through a situation right now, and it seems like everything around you is dead, but all it takes is one word from the Master. It may seem as though it will never live again. But today, on this Resurrection Sunday, if you will just let Jesus rise, he will start bringing back to life everything around you. But the decision's up to you. Will you seek the feet of Jesus, or will you look at another empty tomb? Will you allow Jesus to be your all in all? Or will you continue to try to do it your way? With every head bowed and every eye closed,